The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, I'm Derek Frost for the North Carolina Reading Service. For the next hour, I'll be reading from the Triangle Business Journal. And we'll start on the front page of the Triangle Business Journal with a special section headline, A Commitment to Service. Lifetime Achievement Award winner Van Uhr planned to be a teacher. Instead, she teaches a lesson in serving others while leading the Angus Barn. And the special section is Women in Business. And in this special section, Women in Business, we'll read the Lifetime Achievement Award. The headline on this article, Passion for Service Drives Uhr's Success. Van Uhr never expected to run the Angus Barn, but her touch has made a difference at the historic Raleigh Spot. And this is written by Kate Tracy. Running the show at Raleigh's storied steakhouse may appear glamorous, but behind the scenes, it's quite the opposite. Van Uhr recalls one particularly bad night at the Angus Barn over a decade ago. It was during the restaurant's busiest holiday season, a time when the venue hosts 1,000 guests per night, and the Angus Barn was renting trailer bathrooms while its permanent bathrooms were being renovated. The bathroom vendor had been coming out twice a week to pump the waste, but it wasn't enough. That night, the trailer bathrooms backed up. The smell was horrendous. The crisis only escalated when a guest flushed a toilet and its contents splashed onto her elegant dress. Uhr's employees, whom she normally empowers to solve problems, immediately ran to her. When it's that bad, it's like, get Van, Uhr said. She quickly made amends with the customer by offering to pay for her meal and her dress. Afterward, Uhr and her employees limped through the rest of the chaotic night and the stench with fans, scented lint towels, and other improvised tricks. When she finally went home and fell into bed, Uhr told her husband, I think I really might be interested in selling the restaurant. I just don't know if I can go through another night like that again. Thankfully, it was just a bad night, and Uhr endured it, just as she has endured many other challenges to become TBJ's 2025 Women in Business Awards Lifetime Achievement winner. It's on the heels of a remarkable 2024, which she said was probably the Angus Barn's most profitable. So what's keeping her going, even on the hardest nights? I have 520 people who feed their children because of me, and they're able to pay for their house and their rents and their food and their cars because of our Angus Barn, she said. Uhr's relationship with the Angus Barn started at an early age as her father, Thad Uhr Jr., started the restaurant with his friend, Charles Winston, in 1960. As other restaurant owners' children know, Van Uhr was used to hard work at the Angus Barn. I thought you were supposed to go to work when you were five. I thought that was normal, she said. She didn't always get along with her father. My father was very, very hardcore, she said. Uhr swam in college and earned an education degree from UNC Chapel Hill. After college, she traveled to Kenya on what was meant to be a short trip. She fell in love with the country and ended up living there for 5 years, starting a Montessori-style school in a small Kenyan town. Uhr lived in what she described as a shack with no heat and only one light bulb, on a cliff overlooking the Indian Ocean. The experience ended up shaping her value system and her life in innumerable ways. While there, she met an Australian man, and the two became engaged. The pair moved back to Raleigh so that they could get married. However, Uhr quickly realized her fiancé did not have the qualities she wanted in a life partner, so the pair broke up. I was so depressed. I had left my school, my house, my everything, she said. To make some money, she started bartending at the Angus Barn, and after watching her father at the restaurant, she realized what a good leader he was. She also realized that taking over the restaurant was something she might actually want to do. Not only was the restaurant involved in a number of charities that interested her, but managing employees would also fulfill her gifts as a teacher. Uhr's father put her in a training program that taught her every department of the restaurant 6 months before the family found out he had pancreatic cancer. 10 weeks later, in 1988, he died. So, at a young age, Uhr found herself at the helm of the Angus Barn in her father's place. She and her mother, Alice, owned it together until her mother died in 1998. In those early days, Uhr remembers faking it in financial meetings, but her strength was listening to both her customers and the longtime employees who knew her dad and knew what he'd do in certain situations. All I knew was no matter what happens, you make it right. You just make it right with the guests, she said. I don't believe that problems are solved up in the boardrooms. I believe problems are solved right with the people, Muir said. She then married Steve Thanhauser, and the family has continued to grow the venue, adding the Pavilion in 2008. The restaurant has had to change to accommodate customers over the years. For example, the Angus Barn has a separate allergy kitchen to prepare food for any one of the 30 to 40 allergies guests might have on a given night. Muir is always coming up with wild ideas for the venue. She recently finished a room she named after her grandfather, Thad Muir Sr., who served as North Carolina's Secretary of State for 52 years and loaned his son and Winston the money to start the restaurant. The room showcases a letter from Winston Churchill. Reservations at the Angus Barn are notoriously hard to get. The venue previously booked out a year in advance for the holidays, but that changed after the restaurant crashed OpenTable 2 years ago. Muir remembers telling the disgruntled reservation provider, "Well, what do you want me to say? I'm sorry or I'm proud?" Now the restaurant requires guests to book their desired date 120 days in advance to help stagger the reservations. The improvements never end under Muir's leadership. Employees will obsessively tweak a recipe for, say, creamed spinach, till our brains are creamed spinach, she said. Nowadays, Muir typically works at the restaurant 5 nights a week and every day during the holidays. Most of the Angus Barn's guests are coming to the restaurant to celebrate a birthday, anniversary, engagement dinner, or some other special occasion. Muir takes the responsibility of memory making seriously. "We're providing this service to mankind, which is way beyond the food or the atmosphere," she said. "It's all about this thing that you've created for them to feel." And now we turn to Biz, a quick glance at Triangle Happenings, written by Dane Huffman. Midtown Tower fills retail space. The Exchange Raleigh takes shape as 1000 Social leases its retail options. Midtown Tower 1000 Social is now fully leased for retail as the energy at the Exchange Raleigh starts to rise. The 1000 Social Tower soars 12 stories and includes 353,891 square feet of space overall. So far, GFL Environmental, Summit Design and Engineering Services, and the Whitley Law Firm are among those to have taken spaces. And Todd Said, CEO of DeWitt Carolinas, hinted more are coming. Said said the 20,014 square feet of ground floor retail is fully leased, a significant step as having a coffee shop and restaurants only adds to the allure for office tenants. Said grew up nearby on Converse Drive and graduated from Sanderson High School in UNC Charlotte. DeWitt Carolinas is a partnership between Said and longtime friend Ven Poole. Their fathers were fraternity brothers at NC State University. 1000 Social, which recently hosted a lively Sanderson High School Foundation fundraiser in its event space, is just the beginning of the 40-acre project. On a tour, Said pointed to open spaces that will someday house a hotel, residential units, more Class A office space, and a three-story Lifetime Fitness with a rooftop beach club. They are projecting 4,000 members, Said said. DeWitt Carolinas has other projects and has been intentional about building out the Exchange Raleigh. With wide sidewalks and snazzy pavers, the 1000 Social Tower eventually will be matched by 2000 Social with a swanky skyway connecting the two. Said said having 50% of the building pre-leased has always been the standard for beginning. "If we were at 50%, we could start if we were so compelled," he said. "But getting it right is the goal." "This is a legacy project for us," Said said. "We're not in a hurry." Numbers show a jump in Triangle funding in 2024. Triangle companies raised a total of nearly $3 billion in the largest funding rounds in 2024, according to Triangle Business Journal's latest list of largest fundraises in the area. That's up from just a little over $1 billion in 2023. The 2024 number was buoyed by the $1.5 billion Epic Games raise that included the Walt Disney Company. All told, the 50 largest funding rounds totaled $2.98 billion and saw four that raked in more than $100 million. Chapel Hill's Aretea Therapeutics had a $425 million funder, and another Chapel Hill company, C-Data, had a $350 million funder. RDU adds flights, including to the Bahamas. The news out of Raleigh-Durham International Airport has been positive recently as two airlines announced new connections. Avalo Airlines is adding a flight to Nassau in the Bahamas. The airline also disclosed plans to add flights to Grand Rapids, Michigan and Wilmington, Delaware out of RDU. And Spirit Airlines added flights to Baltimore, Detroit, Dallas-Fort Worth, Newark, New Jersey, and New Orleans. All great, of course, but here at Biz, we still want Dublin. Wolfspeed settles lawsuit with Purdue University. A federal lawsuit between Wolfspeed and Purdue University is over. Purdue in 2021 claimed to have owned the rights to a specific semiconductor transistor technologies that Wolfspeed was using in its own products. Last month, attorneys in the case told the court they had reached a settlement. On March 6, Wolfspeed and Purdue filed for a voluntary dismissal with prejudice in U.S. District Court for the Middle District of North Carolina. Neither side released the settlement terms, but they were significant enough for Wolfspeed to disclose the upcoming payment to investors. And finally, Mack Brown selling Chapel Hill beach homes. Former UNC Chapel Hill football coach Mack Brown has put his homes in Chapel Hill and Figure Eight Island on the market. Brown's house at 330 Tenney Circle, not far from downtown Chapel Hill, is listed for $6.6 million. The 9,913-square-foot space has 5 bedrooms and 10 bathrooms. Brown and his wife Sally are also selling a 5,700-square-foot home at Figure Eight Island for $12.75 million. The Browns have since moved to Austin, Texas, where he was once the coach at the University of Texas. They still have their home in Linville in the North Carolina mountains. And now we turn to the top news stories in the Triangle Business Journal. The first one, written by Lauren Onasorge. Ralliant picks Raleigh for jobs headquarters. Company will spin off from Fortive and add space in North Hills area. Raleigh is getting a new headquarters as part of a 180-job, $2.1 million expansion. Ralliant, a planned spinoff of Fortive Corporation, selected the city for its headquarters after a competitive site search. Kyle Touchstone, director of Raleigh Economic Development, said it ultimately came down to talent. When Fortive officials visited the Triangle in December, they cited the region's diverse industry split and the presence of research universities as checkmarks in the region's favor. Oregon, where the unit already had a strong presence, was a contender for the project. To come to a new location and basically start from scratch, to build an entire team, to bring in corporate leadership, all of the support functions, it's a huge undertaking for a company, he said. The company is planning to lease space in the North Hills area, but an exact location was not released. Ralliant is a spinoff of Fortive's Precision Technology segment. Fortive is an industrial technology conglomerate headquartered in Washington State. In February, executives at Fortive, which had revenue of $6 billion in 2024, told analysts the spin-out was on track for completion in the third quarter. Fortive already has a strong connection to Raleigh. Vontier Corporation, which spun out of Fortive in 2020, is based in the city. The state is offering Ralliant up to $3.3 million in incentive grants. Local incentives from Wake County and Raleigh are expected to total more than $100,000, officials said. To receive the full incentives, Ralliant will have to hire at least 162 workers by the end of 2029, as well as retain more than 260 positions, the number of employees it presently has in Bladen County. According to an announcement March 11 by Governor Josh Stein's office, the average salary for the new jobs will be $189,479. UNC under investigation by Trump administration. This is written by Zach Ezone. The University of North Carolina is under investigation by the federal government for alleged, quote, violations relating to anti-Semitic harassment and discrimination, unquote. The U.S. Department of Education's Office for Civil Rights has sent letters to 60 institutions warning the schools of potential enforcement actions if they do not fulfill their obligations, under federal law, to protect Jewish students on campus, including uninterrupted access to campus facilities and educational opportunities, the department said in a statement released March 10. The department identified all 60 schools in a list, which included the University of North Carolina. The department did not specify whether this was in reference to a specific university or the UNC system more broadly. UNC Chapel Hill drew national attention last year for campus protests over the war in Gaza. However, a spokesperson for the university on March 11 said the school has not received a letter from the Office of Civil Rights. Instead, the spokesperson directed requests to the UNC System Office. The UNC System Office confirmed that it has received a letter but did not comment further on the matter. Clean tech to bring 100 jobs to new Triangle HQ. This is written by Lauren Onasorge. Armed with $20 million, a startup trying to revolutionize the way data centers are powered is expanding in Raleigh with a new headquarters and plans to hire for 100 jobs. That's according to Haroon Inam, CEO of DG Matrix, a Raleigh startup that's developed a power router platform he hopes will enhance energy performance, alleviate grid constraints, and reduce energy costs. The $20 million raise, led by Clean Energy Ventures with participation from ABB, Cyberis Ventures, Chevron Technology Ventures, and Piedmont Capital, brings the firm's funding haul to nearly $30 million, according to the company. DG Matrix began just 2.5 years ago, originating on a car trip to Maryland. On the drive, co-founders Inam, the former chief technology officer at SmartWires, and Sapabish Bhattacharya, a professor of electrical and computer engineering at NC State University, came up with a product concept and a market plan. Inam said the opportunity was obvious amid the blistering rise of artificial intelligence. Much has been said of utilities possibly unable to address high power loads such as those required by the data centers big tech is counting. He said the plan is to start hiring up to 100-plus tech professionals. Right now, the company has 10 employees and works with a contract manufacturer. And along with this article, there's a big number, $20 million, and that's how much DG Matrix raised as it looks to revolutionize how data centers get their power. And our next article is written by David Pertell. Doge cancels 20 leases in North Carolina. 4 leases in Raleigh listed as impacted as Musk's group continues to slash spending. As Elon Musk's Department of Government Efficiency targets the federal real estate footprint, office space in Raleigh and across North Carolina appears to be on the chopping block. According to the Doge website, at least 20 government leases across the state, totaling more than 144,000 square feet, have been canceled. The combined annual value of the leases is more than $3.4 million, according to Doge. There are 4 leases listed as being in Raleigh, including downtown on Fayetteville Street. The Doge website says it's terminating a more than 10,000-square-foot lease for the Equal Employment Opportunity Commission, which lists an address of 434 Fayetteville Street, Suite 700, in the 29-story Truist 2 Hanover Square building. Capital Associates, which manages leasing for the 441,000-square-foot office building, did not return a request for comment. Doge says the annual lease is more than $306,000 and that the total savings is more than $612,000. Elsewhere in Raleigh, Doge is terminating 3 relatively small leases, Department of Labor, Wage, and Hour Division, 5,641 square feet, $122,754 annual lease. Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, Firearms, and Explosives, 5,287 square feet, $142,636 for the annual lease. And the Department Management, or IG, 2,324 square feet, $64,157. The Raleigh Field Office for the ATF is listed as 4700 Falls of Noose Road, Suite 395, which is in an office building with multiple tenants. The DOL office is listed as 4407 Bland Road, Suite 260. The Doge site says the ATF and IG offices will move to federal space, but it's unclear where. It's also unclear if these are new cancellations or were already planned by prior administrations. Federal data show the U.S. government has multiple leases at both 434 Fayetteville Street and 4700 Falls of Noose Road. Overall, there were 26 separate leases listed in Raleigh as of February, according to data from the U.S. General Services Administration, which manages federal real estate. Some of those could be replacing others. In a statement to TBJ, the GSA said, Acting Administrator Stephen Ehikian's vision for GSA includes reducing our deferred maintenance liabilities, supporting the return to office of federal employees, and taking advantage of a stronger private government partnership in managing the workforce of the future. GSA is reviewing all options to optimize our footprint and building utilization. A component of our space consolidation plan will be the termination of many soft-term leases. To the extent these terminations affect public-facing facilities and or existing tenants, we are working with our agency partners to secure suitable alternative space. Statewide, the largest lease cancellation is 30,100 square feet in a building at the Gateway Research Park in Greensboro. The DOGE list also includes an office of the Internal Revenue Service in Wilmington, totaling 14,165 square feet. And now we turn to the reporter pages in the Triangle Business Journal, starting with Lauren Onosorge's page, Transportation and Technology. Red Hat to make its debut in space. Red Hat software will be used this spring on the International Space Station. Red Hat is about to hit the International Space Station. The Raleigh software company, owned by IBM, is collaborating with Axiom Space in a move that means its technology will make its ISS debut this spring. Red Hat is collaborating on what's called Axiom Space Center's Data Center Unit 1. It's powered by Red Hat Device Edge, a data processing prototype that will conduct experiments on the space station to demonstrate its capabilities in orbit. Tony James, chief architect for science and space at Red Hat, said the technology centers on edge computing, which he describes as the idea of bringing a compute capability closer to where data sources are generating data. That way, you're not shipping data all over the place, which leads to delays, he said. Red Hat is already heavily involved in the edge space. This project proves Red Hat can also operate in extreme environments and comes years into its ongoing collaboration with Axiom, James said. Really, what it means for the space industry as a whole is that we're bringing a more scalable and cloud-native approach to space infrastructure, he said, predicting that the work will lead to numerous possibilities for edge computing in space. Take the area of Earth observation, where satellites are orbiting the Earth, taking pictures. The infrastructure supporting them is dated and has limited bandwidth. That's a challenge when dealing with high-resolution imagery. James compares it to an iPhone, where images are so large they can fill your storage, hampering your ability to send photos. With edge computing, image processing could happen in orbit, just the results could be sent back to Earth so that researchers don't have to wait to make informed decisions. Records show why Epic's plan stalled. An evolving office environment may have had video game giant Epic Games second-guessing its plans to transform a former Cary shopping mall into a headquarters campus, according to newly released documents. After years of little to no activity at the site of the former Cary Town Center, the town notified Epic Games in December that its rezoning request had been withdrawn due to inactivity. But the new documents show the decision didn't come as a surprise to the Cary-based company behind Fortnite. According to the records, Chris Croissant, senior facilities project manager for Epic Games, met with Cary assistant town manager Scott Barry to discuss the decision prior to the withdrawal notification. Barry told Croissant in a December 5 email he was grateful for Epic's significant presence in the town despite the fact that the project wasn't moving forward as currently proposed. As we mutually concluded, given the requirements of Cary's land development ordinance plus the evolving office environment, it is appropriate, Barry wrote regarding the rezoning being withdrawn. Epic Games, led by CEO Tim Sweeney, has been mostly mum about its headquarters plans since they were first revealed 5 years ago. Wolfspeed reveals layoffs over uncertainty. Chipmaker Wolfspeed is announcing aggressive cuts, including layoffs, as the company awaits hundreds of millions in federal CHIPS Act funding and builds out a $5 billion factory in Chatham County. Wolfspeed disclosed the plan March 7 in securities filing. Wolfspeed will lay off around 180 workers. The move will impact employees at its Durham headquarters as well as in Chatham County, where it recently obtained a conditional certificate of occupancy for its Siler City plant. Wolfspeed also plans to lower capital expenditures. It's targeting between $150 million to $200 million for fiscal 2026 and just $30 million to $50 million in 2027. The move doubles down on a previously announced restructuring that included the closure of a Durham fabrication facility, but the expectation is that it will still reach its forecasted employee headcount of 1,800 in Siler City, a Wolfspeed spokesperson said. And finally, toll options resurface for Capitol Boulevard. As construction costs rise, the topic of tolls is again on the table for a congested stretch of Capitol Boulevard in Raleigh. From a Department of Transportation perspective, we'd be happy if we had no toll roads, North Carolina Secretary of Transportation Joey Hopkins said. But the reality is there's not enough funding available to meet the needs of our state. 7 years ago, improvements were supposed to cost $465 million. The latest draft of the state's 10-year transportation spending plan estimates the cost of the 10-mile stretch at more than $1.3 billion. Even breaking up the project into four phases is expensive. The priority stretch between Interstate 540 and Durant and Perry Creek roads is a $516 million project. And now we turn to Zach Ezone's page, Healthcare and Life Sciences. Merck opens site and more planned. Pharmaceutical giant looks to add a second facility at its Durham location. A global healthcare company is growing its footprint in North Carolina with a $1 billion investment. Merck has opened a new 225,000-square-foot vaccine manufacturing facility in Durham. In addition to its initial investment, the pharmaceutical company, which is headquartered in New Jersey, is looking at developing another facility at the site. The company began construction on the now-open facility in 2019 to increase manufacturing capabilities for its Gardasil vaccine, which protects against HPV, or human papillomavirus. Merck last year reported $64.2 billion in revenue, with about $8.6 billion coming from Gardasil. Merck says the expansion in Durham is part of more than $12 billion the company has invested in U.S. manufacturing and research and development capabilities in the U.S. since 2018. The company expects to invest another $8 billion in the U.S. by 2028. The company will begin manufacturing at the facility this year and ramp up production in 2026, said Amanda Taylor, vice president and plant manager for the Merck Manufacturing Division in Durham. Merck has about 1,000 people at its Durham site and will be hiring to support the expansion. Merck announced plans for the HPV vaccine facility in 2019 as part of an investment in Durham and Wilson, where the company has a 500,000-square-foot packaging plant. At the time, the investment was projected to create more than 400 jobs and was supported by state incentives. The company decided to make this investment in Durham because of the strong local workforce, Taylor said. The company last year entered a collaboration agreement with North Carolina A&T State in Greensboro, which led to Merck building a 4,025-square-foot facility at the university to train students and company employees. Furloughs continue at FHI after federal cuts. A Durham organization is furloughing more workers in North Carolina amid cuts to U.S. foreign aid. FHI 360 said March 10 it has furloughed more U.S. staff members in the second round of furloughs since the Trump administration froze funding for the U.S. Agency for International Development. FHI says it has now furloughed 45% of its U.S. workforce, including more than 370 people in North Carolina. The organization in early February furloughed 36% of its staff, including 200 in North Carolina. The furloughs are the result of the continued freeze on U.S. foreign assistance, including programs covered under life-saving waivers, but for which funds have yet to be made available, FHI said. As of last year, FHI had about 4,600 employees, with 450 based in the Triangle, according to Triangle Business Journal research. About 67% of the revenue came from USAID, according to FHI 360's annual report for 2024. FHI spokesperson Jennifer Garcia said, "It is shocking to witness the rapid loss of technical expertise that is relied upon around the world to address critical global challenges, including combating infectious diseases and food insecurity, as well as improving maternal and child health. This expertise is hard won and not easily replaced." Meredith to launch nursing program. Meredith College is launching a nursing program this year with an initial cohort of about 24 students. Meredith is also in the early stages of planning a potential new facility on its campus. Freshmen who enroll this fall can apply to the program. The first 2 years will involve prerequisite and general education courses, with the nursing courses beginning in 2027. As the school ramps up the program, it also plans to hire classroom and clinical faculty by fall 2027, said Michelle Hartman, an associate professor at Meredith and director of the school's nursing program. Hartman joined Meredith in August after more than a decade at the Duke University School of Nursing. North Carolina is expected to have a shortage of nearly 12,500 registered nurses by 2033, according to a model developed by the Cecil G. Shepp Center for Health Services Research at UNC Chapel Hill. And finally, Blue Cross NC forms new parent company. Blue Cross and Blue Shield of North Carolina has completed a reorganization meant to help it be more competitive. The largest health insurer in the state has established CuraCor, that's spelled C-U-R-A, capital C-O-R, Solutions, as a not-for-profit parent holding company. The General Assembly in 2023 passed legislation allowing Blue Cross NC to create a separate holding company that would serve as the parent to the 92-year-old insurance firm. This is ultimately about flexibility and speed and the ability to move on a similar playing field. I won't say a balanced playing field with the Nationals, said Chief Financial Officer Mitch Perry. CuraCor can more quickly enter partnerships, make investments in other deals, Perry said. And now we turn to Kate Tracy's page, Retail and Restaurants. Good run ends at 42nd Street Oyster Bar. Raleigh Institution will close March 30 as owners decide not to re-sign lease. A Raleigh institution with a history that spans nearly a century is set to close. 42nd Street Oyster Bar and Seafood Grill at 508 West Jones Street in Glenwood South will serve its last customers on March 30, co-owner Brad Hurley said. Hurley said the restaurant's long-term lease ends in April, and he and co-owner John Vick were not comfortable re-signing with the landlord, Raleigh-based Hobby Properties. We just were not able to come to an agreement with our landlord, Hurley said. Hurley did not elaborate on specifics, but said an increase in rent was not the deciding factor. Rather, there were a combination of reasons behind the decision to close. We didn't feel like we could move forward with the lease, he said. It's been a long lease. We had a good run. He and Vic do not have plans to relocate the restaurant. The restaurant employs between 90 and 95 full-time and part-time staff members. Vic and Hurley own the parking lot parcel next to the restaurant building. Hobby Properties owns the nearly 20,000 square foot building. As of now, there are no plans to put the property up for sale, Hurley said. The building and parking lot have a combined assessed value of $9.7 million. The establishment got its start in the late 1930s when it was as a grocery store serving oysters and beer following Prohibition. Thad Ure Jr., the late owner of the Angus Barn, came into the picture and opened the restaurant in 1987 along with Hurley and Mel Simpson. Vic later became co-owner of the restaurant with Hurley. We had such a successful run after all those years. I would like to think we made a lot of customers happy from time to time, Hurley said. Local bookstore to open second location. Jim Rainieri is starting his second chapter as a bookstore owner. The founder and managing partner of Bayo's Books and Brews, located at 8111 Creedmoor Road in Raleigh, plans to open a second venue this summer in the Falls River Town Center near Wake Med North Hospital. The expansion comes just 15 months after Bayou's first debuted. Like its first location, Rainieri is envisioning the new Bayou's as a community hub with coffee, a robust food menu, beer, and plenty of basics, of course. Rainieri was attracted to the Falls River Town Center for its proximity to residential neighborhoods. It's a little bit of a coffee vacuum, he said. It's got such a high concentration of residential rooftops. At 3,394 square feet, the second Bayou's will be 900 square feet larger than the first location. Rainieri is planning to pack it out with 2 to 3 times more book inventory, plus more seating and a bigger kitchen. Prior to Bayou's, Rainieri was a teacher and an administrator at Trinity Academy for 13 years before he decided to take the leap into entrepreneurship. The decision has paid off so far, as he's seen pretty dramatic growth in the first 15 months. The store is named after a king mentioned in the epic poem Beowulf. New retail center planned for Wendell. Plans for a new retail center, including a grocery store, are underway in Wendell as the Wake County community continues to outpace most of the region for growth. Barnett Properties of Henderson has submitted plans for a retail center called Wendell Commons. The site's address is 1236 Wendell Falls Parkway at the corner of Eagle Rock Road. Alan Maness, a vice president of development at Barnett Properties, said the firm has been working on a Wendell Commons on Wendell Commons for the last 6 months and is under contract to purchase the 19.8-acre parcel. Residents in the growing area of eastern Wake County have limited grocery store options, including a Publix in Wendell Falls and a Food Lion northwest of town, northwest of downtown Wendell. "We're excited to bring another option for groceries to the town," Maness said. "The town is growing up quickly, and we think a diversity of those opportunities will serve the public well." And finally, national salad chain eyes Franklin Street. Restaurant chain Sweetgreen, which made its debut, its Raleigh debut in the fall, plans to open in Chapel Hill at 122 East Franklin Street, according to town permits. The fast casual chain based in Los Angeles plans to open in the 2,821 square foot space with seating for 71. Sweetgreen serves protein plates, salads, and bowls. Its new caramelized garlic steak dish costs $16.55, while its shroomami bowl featuring tofu, portobello mushrooms, cabbage, and miso sesame ginger dressing costs $12.95, according to its website. Sweetgreen also has one location open in Charlotte. The estimated cost for restaurant renovations in Chapel Hill is $1.1 million, according to the restaurant's commercial permit. And now we turn to Ben Tobin's page on the Greater Triangle. Homes planned near new Pinehurst course. D.R. Horton looking to build two communities close to Pinehurst No. 10. The nation's largest home builder is looking to expand its presence in Moore County with hundreds of homes set to rise across from Pinehurst Resort's newest golf course. D.R. Horton of Texas is planning adjacent neighborhoods off Farrell Parkway in Aberdeen, according to the home builder's website and Moore County deed records. The two communities will be named Martin Farms and The Towns at Martin Farms. In total, the communities located across the street from Pinehurst No. 10 will have 507 homes, according to Bethany Carl, a spokesperson for D.R. Horton. The neighborhoods will include both townhomes and single-family homes to offer a home for every stage of life, she said. The Aberdeen area offers incredible versatility with its charming downtown, a wide range of golf courses, and convenient access to the base, making commuting easy for military personnel, Carl said. Additionally, it's just minutes away from the scenic towns of Pinehurst and Southern Pines, she said. Per Carl, construction will start this month, with the estimated sales price for townhomes starting in the mid-$200,000. D.R. Horton recently spent more than $4.6 million to acquire dozens of lots for these developments, according to Moore County deed records. Right now, D.R. Horton only has one neighborhood in Aberdeen, according to the home builder's website. That neighborhood is the Villas at Collinswood, which consists of ranch-style homes that start around $358,000 off Thistle Meadow Lane. With Pinehurst growing in popularity not only as a golf destination but also for younger families to lay down roots, developers have been rushing to get in on the action, and neighborhoods in the area have gained quite a bit of traction. Triangle Business Journal reported in July 2024 that Caviness Land Development paid seven figures to purchase lots in a neighborhood called Windsway Farm, which is also across the street from Pinehurst No. 10. That community is just a few miles up the road from where the Martin Farms communities will be. Coastal Shopping Center sells for $7 million. A shopping center in Elizabeth City has sold to an out-of-state investor, RBA Investments, an LLC based out of West Plains, Missouri, recently purchased the shops at Tanglewood at 103 Tanglewood Parkway in Elizabeth City for $7 million, according to Pasquotank County deed records. The seller, BJ&S Properties of Florida, purchased it in 2021 for $4 million. The 34,000-square-foot retail center has national and local brands, including GameStop, Jersey Mike's, Subs, The Athlete's Foot, and Sally Beauty Supply. Missouri Secretary of State records show Libby Grisham as the registered agent for RBA Investments. Grisham appears to be part of the Overland Group, with offices in Missouri and Alabama. The Elizabeth City property hit the market in the middle of last year. Triangle Business Journal reported in December that the company listed the property. S.L. Nussbaum Realty Company was seeking about $7.3 million. Chris Devine, a partner with S.L. Nussbaum Realty and Company and listing agent for the property, told TBJ at the time that the area is certainly the growth corridor in Elizabeth City. And finally, commercial space could rise south of Fuquay-Varina. Jonathan Tucker, Vice President of Operations for Associated Contract Services in Fuquay Varina, has submitted a rezoning request with Harnett County to change the use of roughly 8.5 acres off the intersection of U.S. 401 and Rawls Church Road from residential to commercial. The land is currently owned by TFD Incorporated, an entity with a Fuquay Varina address, and has an assessed value of more than $162,000, according to Harnett County tax information. The land is situated south of Fuquay Varina, a heavy hotbed for housing as of late. Tucker said he's looking to develop a commercial space to bring more shopping, dining, and essential services to the community. With the area growing quickly, we believe this project could create jobs and make life more convenient for local residents in this fast-growing area, he said. Our goal is to support responsible growth that fits the character of Harnett County while offering new opportunities for both businesses and neighbors. The site is a short drive from the Serenity development, a roughly 1,200-home community spread across 550 acres. And our last reporter page is Kaylee Thompson's Real Estate and Development. Kane sells property in Smoky Hollow. Firm pays $152 million for a building on Raleigh's Peace Street. Kane Realty Corporation has sold one of its Smoky Hollow apartment buildings in downtown Raleigh for $152 million. Atlanta-based Cortland, along with New York-based Pomera and Wiesman Family LP, acquired the Peace Raleigh apartments from Kane Realty, according to Wake County deed records. The deed shows the sale is for the multifamily units, parking deck, and Publix retail space. The multifamily development company has already rebranded the apartments to Cortland Glenwood South and has the apartment website under its ownership. Cortland did not provide a comment on its future plans for the property. Newmark brokered the transaction. The apartments at 417 West P Street are about 90% leased, according to its website. Rents range from $1,458 for a studio to $3,590 for a three-bedroom unit. Kane Realty did not return requests for comment on why it chose to sell the property. Considering the strained financial market, the company could be building capital to start construction on Downtown South, an ambitious project long delayed by the stiff financial markets for commercial real estate. In October 2024, Kane Realty refinanced existing debt on Smoky Hollow, acquiring a $134 million loan provided by Charlotte-based Barings. Smoky Hollow's first phase was the Peace Raleigh Apartments and the Publix store, which both opened in 2020 and had a $150 million price tag. Another Raleigh property managed by Kane, the Advance Auto Parts office tower in North Hills, is set to sell to Highwoods Properties. Kane developed the tower in partnership with Lionstone Investments of Houston. The 12-story building offers amenities such as a heated swimming pool and sky lounge. Publix is on the ground floor with direct access from the parking deck. Investors hope to lure HQ to Capitol Boulevard. A pair of local real estate firms are looking to land a company headquarters in Raleigh. Oak City Commercial and Aspire Property Group of Durham bought a 66,040-square-foot industrial building on Capitol Boulevard. Oak City has a 63% undivided interest, while Aspire has a 37% undivided interest on the $8.5 million sale, according to Wake County deed records. Tim Peters of Oak City Commercial said the companies are very bullish on North Carolina and Raleigh. They anticipate being able to draw in a single-tenant company headquarters for the property. The property at 4101 Capitol Boulevard is zoned to allow for industrial, office, and retail uses. LoopNet advertises the rental rate as $18 per square foot. Built in 1984, the building was the location for the North Carolina Department of Transportation's IT department for about 20 years. NCDOT vacated the property in 2023. The owners would perform tenant upfits if needed. Oak City Commercial is led by Peters along with Patrick Gatewood. Aspire Property Group is led by Michael Hinderleiter. The two companies have acquired 15 buildings in the Triangle together, one of them being an industrial building on Harrod Street in Northeast Raleigh. Property near NC State Golf Course sells for $44 million. A student housing complex near Lonnie Pool Golf Course at NC State University has sold for less than its assessed value. The Wild Student Apartments recently sold for $44.35 million to New York-based Timberland Real Estate Ventures, according to Wake County deed records. The apartments have an assessed value of more than $55 million. Denver-based Cardinal Group was the previous owner. It acquired the property in 2018 for $42.45 million. Located on nearly 16 acres at 3333 Melrose Club Boulevard on the south side of Interstate 40, the property has 210 units in 16 three-story buildings. Built in 1996 and renovated in 2011 and 2022, the apartments rent from $775 to $905 a month for a bedroom in either a 2, 3, or 4-bedroom plan. The fully furnished apartments feature quartz countertops, stainless steel appliances, and in-unit washer and dryer. Residents have access to a swimming pool, fitness center, clubhouse, and more. And finally, cheap rents come to desirable part of Durham. A different type of rental living has opened in downtown Durham that provides affordability for those who don't need much space. Dillard Co-Living features 19 townhomes that each have 5 private bedroom and bathroom suites, a shared kitchen, laundry, and outdoor space. Bedroom suites are between 208 and 305 square feet, with rent ranging from $750 to $825 a month. The community is at 218 North Dillard Street on 1.5 acres across from Oakwood Park near the Durham County Main Library. For Dillard Co-Living, about 10% of the 95-bedroom suites have been rented so far. Jason Wallace, CEO of Community Room Rental, which manages the unit, said most residents are professionals in their 30s or older. And now in the Triangle Business Journal, we turn to A Better World. The first story on this page, local charity gets national spotlight. Myra John leads effort to help children facing homelessness. A local effort to help children facing homelessness got a national spotlight March 14. Myra John, who founded the Myra's Angels Foundation, appeared on Good Morning America to discuss what her organization does to address the issue. John worked as a pediatric nurse for decades and then in public schools and was heartbroken by the number of children she experienced who were abruptly pulled from their homes or who lived in cars or hotels. She started asking caseworkers and foster parents what the children could need and came up with the idea of having individual bags with essential items for them. The bags from Myra's Angels feature toiletries, books, socks, undergarments, school supplies, toys, and a stuffed animal that are specific to the age, gender, and interests of the child. John said the goal is to give the children a lift and alleviate a lot of the stress they are under. 2 years ago, John decided to commit to the nonprofit full-time. The group is now producing up to 100 backpacks a month, but remains a small organization with just $37,600 in revenue in 2023, according to their federal 990 tax form. But the group now has a location in Wake Forest and a determined leader backed by volunteers, many of whom are nurses. The group welcomes financial support, but also donations for children, with some top needs being pajamas, undergarments, and socks. We can't do it alone, John said. It takes a village, and that village is us. Nonprofit goes independent to help homeowners. A local nonprofit organization that specializes in home repairs is rebranding under a different name. Formerly, Rebuilding Together of the Triangle, Preserving Home, will continue to assist homeowners with repair services such as structural improvements, safety modifications, and energy upgrades. We're grateful for the success we've enjoyed as an affiliate of Rebuilding Together since 2007, CEO Dan Sargent said. Our shift to a new brand reflects our explosive growth regionally and our deepening partnerships with area municipalities and community agencies managing local home preservation programs. The group recently purchased an office at 8035 Chapel Hill Road in Cary. With help from Cary and from Wake County, Preserving Home raised $2.1 million in capital for its new headquarters. The organization aims to raise another $500,000 and begin renovations to the building this year. Gigi's Playhouse looks for next local leader. A longtime nonprofit that supports those with Down syndrome is looking for its next executive director. Gigi's Playhouse of Raleigh looks to change lives through educational programs and other ways to empower individuals with Down syndrome, their families, and the community. It provides free programs that are therapeutic or educational in nature and is part of a national network. The nonprofit located in Cary is looking for an executive director with strong marketing and development skills. The pay range is expected to be between $80,000 to $92,000, according to the job posting. And finally, Endowment provides funds to support aquarium on the coast. The North Carolina Aquarium Society, which is based in Raleigh, has received a $7.5 million grant from the Endowment of New Hanover County to support expansion of the North Carolina Aquarium at Fort Fisher. The funding will support the aquarium's educational programs and the first major renovation of the aquarium in more than two decades. The Fort Fisher Aquarium draws about 500,000 visitors per year. An estimated 1.4 million visitors explore the state's aquariums throughout each year. This is a significant investment in the future of New Hanover County, said Dan Winslow, president and CEO at the Endowment. The North Carolina Aquarium at Fort Fisher has long been a vital asset to our community, and we're proud to contribute to its continued growth and success. The Fort Fisher Aquarium expects to reveal planned upgrades this summer with an estimated investment of $56 million. And in general news, we have a story by Kate Tracy. Waverly Place Land's fast casual restaurant, Farmside Kitchen, will open in Cary, its third location as it expands. A fast casual restaurant is gracing Waverly Place in Cary for its third location. Farmside Kitchen is opening at 316 Colonnades Way. The restaurant already has a location in Research Triangle Park at 5431 Page Road, which opened in 2021. Farmside opened a second location in January in Chantilly, Virginia. Meg Schiffman, CEO and co-founder of Farmside Kitchen, has extensive experience in the restaurant industry, including stints at Honest Tea and Cava. We created Farmside to make eating, well, simple and satisfying, serving up delicious, wholesome food that truly leaves you feeling good, Schiffman said. It's a place where local ingredients, sustainable practices, and a warm, inviting environment come together. The menu features Farmside signature farm bowls with grains, greens, and proteins. The Farmside, for example, features grilled chicken, sweet potatoes, gala apples, goat cheese, almonds, kale, brown rice, and balsamic vinaigrette. According to Farmside's website, prices for farm bowls range from $9.95 to $11.95. The restaurant at Waverly Place will source its ingredients from local farms, including Lewis Farm, Scott Farms, and Wise Farm. The restaurant will serve sourdough bread baked by Cary's La Farm Bakery. Farmside's neighbors at the Cary Retail Center include Shake Shack and Pet Folk. Other restaurants that serve a similar menu to Farmside are expanding in the Triangle. Los Angeles-based Sweetgreen is planning its second location in Chapel Hill after making its debut in North Hills last year. Diced, which serves salads, grain bowls, and wraps, is opening its fifth location in Holly Springs. Other restaurants coming soon to Cary include Cape Fear Seafood Company, opening in a retail center off Highway 64. Waverly Place recently saw Cycle Bar Studio close. It lost a Body 20 fitness studio last year. And now in the Triangle Business Journal, we turn to the Executive Voice Q&A column, and this one concerns Steve Reeder. Title, Raleigh Office Managing Partner, KPMG. Education, Bachelor's Business Administration, Old Dominion University. Hometown, Virginia Beach, Virginia. Family, wife, five children, number of employees, more than 300, age 56, Raleigh headquarters, 4242 Six Forks Road. In the last 3 years, KPMG has tripled its revenue and headcount in Raleigh. That growth has happened under the leadership of Steve Reeder, who moved from Virginia in 2017 to take the helm of the Raleigh office. KPMG's Raleigh office is now the third largest commercial practice that the Big Four accounting firm has in the Southeast, behind Atlanta and Charlotte. We're growing at a great clip, Reeder said. That leaves the Raleigh outpost on the hunt for a larger office. It has 13,000 square feet in North Hills in the Bank of America Tower, but Reeder said the office needs to grow to 18 or 19,000 square feet. KPMG's lease is up in May 2026. You've been at KPMG for 26 years. What has been your key to your longevity? It's the quality of the people that you work with. It's the culture of our office here in Raleigh and the firm in general. We have a very family-type culture, very welcoming. We get a lot of people that have transferred in from other places in the country. We hire a lot here locally from universities. We have a lot of skilled people here, a lot of great professionals, and really, there's no team I'd rather work with. What's driving the growth of KPMG's Raleigh office? I would say it's the business environment first and foremost. It's the companies that are moving here from other areas. It's people that are moving here from other areas. It's people that are being hired here that work in companies, not only here but all across the country, who have relationships with that help drive results. What are the largest sectors that KPMG works with in Raleigh? Government, because we have the state of North Carolina here, financial services and life sciences would probably be third after that. How often are employees expected to be in the office? We're never going to full return to office, but it's expected that you'll be in the office or at a client 2 to 3 days a week on average. With the new presidential administration, what are your clients watching closely? The big focus is on tariffs and the impact that that is going to have on the supply chain. We have several projects ongoing that are new projects that are helping companies focus on what that true cost is going to be to them and how much exposure they have in terms of their budgets and other things. I'd say that's really the big area. The other thing we're looking at is the new tax legislation this year. There's going to be a lot of pressure on the federal government to get new tax legislation passed, because without that, taxes will definitely increase as some of the older reductions go away and they return to those previously normalized rates. So we're really focused on that as well. We think that's going to be a really good area of opportunity. We're still helping advise our clients on AI. We do really expect the M&A market to ramp up this year. We have a whole practice dedicated to assisting clients from everything from due diligence on the front end to integration on the back end as well. What are you most excited about in 2025? With any market turbulence or chaos or change, it creates opportunity. It creates opportunity for solutions. It creates opportunity to help people. It creates opportunities for you to rethink how you have always done things and whether or not there's a better way to adapt your business. I think we're internally adapting at KPMG to the current market environment, and we're helping clients adapt to the current market environment. What's your favorite spot in the Triangle that's lesser known? There's a restaurant called Over the Falls in Wake Forest that we enjoy going to. And finally, is there a business the Triangle really needs but does not have yet? If it would have been last year, I think I would have said Top Golf, but we finally got a Top Golf. And this was written by Kate Tracy. And we'll go ahead and stop with our reading of the Triangle Business Journal right there, actually, as we've run out of time for today's episode. I hope you enjoyed it. I'm Derek Frost, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. The Triangle Business Journal is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. And if you have any comments or questions, please call 919-832-5138. That number again is 919-832-5138. So long until next time, and thank you for listening to the North Carolina Reading Service.